Welcome to the weekend edition of the Daily Dad Podcast, where on the weekends we do a deeper dive at how to get better at our most important job, being a parent. Sometimes in these episodes, I talk to best-selling authors and elite performers and other guests. But lately, I've also been having conversations with my wife, Samantha, the co-parent of my two boys. And we do it over in the Daily Stoic studio here in Bastrop, Texas. And she and I talk about things that we're working on as parents, things that we're working on as people, and how we are supporting each other, challenging each other, and like I said, trying to get better at what we do. Guest or not, I hope you hear some ideas here that will help make you a better parent. I was better for having the conversation. I hope you enjoy. Whitney Cummings, who's on the Daily Stoic podcast recently, she asked me for some parenting advice. I showed you what I said. Mm-hmm. But tell me, so I said, number one, walks are magic. Just always be walking with the baby. It's good for you. It's good for them. Basically, I said this before, but like the oldest evidence we have for humans is basically in the United States or in North America is like a person walking with their baby. So walking is magic. Routine and structure is everything. I think you and I struggled, would you agree, that like we tried to keep our old routine for too long? Like
Our own routine, but our own unstructured life.
Well, that, but I just meant like we just kept doing things that were part of the old, your old life that in retrospect aren't that important, but have a very high cost. So like, I just think about all the times that we went out to dinner when we had little kids in retrospect for no real reason that screwed up bedtimes or nap times or caused arguments or caused stress or meltdowns for the baby. Like, you know, like I don't remember any of the times that I said, hey, you know what? We should go out to dinner. Right. But like the cumulative stress and strain of that probably still lingers.
I think it's really hard because I have a complicated response to this particular one. I think it's hard because it's like adapting to being a parent and having a kid, that's one of those things that was like a little bit of a delay for us. Because like for me, I like enjoy being around other people and interacting with other people and having experiences. And there wasn't a situation in which I felt like I was going to miss out if I didn't do it. And yeah. I was going to be stuck. And I'm like,
you don't want to be isolated and lonely.
Right. And like being a new parent is like both very overwhelming and exhausting, and then like can be extremely boring because you're learning so many new things, but you're not getting like the mental stimulation mm-hmm. in other ways. And like, I think that there was like a me needing that, and then there being like a little, I felt like I was having to like sneak it into the way that our lives were.
Yeah.
Rather than like adapting things around that. So it was like these are the time frames in which I can do this, and then I have to be back to do like a nap or whatever. It was kind of like I'm just trying to squeeze it into the cracks of like our existing life.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I remember we went to Neighbors, which is like right behind the studio, and then we were driving home, and then we hit a coyote on the way home.
Do you remember that?
And so it's just like first off, that was like could have ended so much worse than it did. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's just like, there's just this sense of like, you're like, well, I don't want to be someone that never goes out anymore. Or like, I don't want to like miss out on this. Or there's kind of this FOMO, I think. And also because you are bored and you want to kind of go back to how your old life was, that's causing, I think, stress and strain that a person who could, if you could sit down and kind of embrace, like, this is a season, this isn't like who you are now. I think adjusting your routine and your life and accepting that things have irrevocably changed would have probably made things easier and less stressful.
I think that you and I did those at different times.
Yeah.
And in different ways.
Like, do you just think about like you would drive like an hour and 20 minutes for like swim lessons?
Wasn't that well round trip, but yeah, I do. And honestly, I'm glad that we did, because like our kid that I did that for is like an incredible swimmer.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like happy that I had the time and the space to be able to do stuff like that. But it was also hard because I was also like running a business and working full time. Like we were stupid. We were just stupid.
That's what I mean.
We were so stupid.
You're clinging to things that don't matter and then half-assing the things that do matter.
What's the next one?
This is related to that, which is, I said, use your kid to get out of everything you don't want to do. And because it's a magical excuse that only lasts for a little while.
Did you use that excuse?
I should have used it more, but all the time. Like, it's like when you have kids, people are like, welcome to the club. And then they understand. And then, so you get invited to things and you're just like, no, I can't. Like you start, my wife is pregnant and then the baby could be due any day. And then you're like, no, sorry, I have a 6-week-old. I just used it to get out of so many things that I think to have to just say no for no reason other than I didn't really want to, or it wasn't a good use of time, would have required too much willpower.
I think that you have a hard time saying no to things. And
most people do.
Yeah, maybe. But like, that's maybe something that would be good to put into practice before you have kids, which is
getting practice saying no.
You don't need to use your kid as an excuse to say no. Like, you should be able to say no and set those boundaries yourself. You don't owe anyone an explanation.
Right.
But if you need to use your kid as an excuse, like, by all means.
Well, because you're saying no, you go, oh, I have trouble saying no. I don't want to say no to this person. But you are saying no to your kid.
Yeah.
You just don't have to say it to them.
I get that. Or like, people have a better understanding and respect of like, you respecting your own time around prioritizing your family. And like, I think you and I have talked about this before, like here, where like we've been in situations where you're like, why are you here? Don't you have like a 4-week-old at home and you've just been traveling for a week and a half? Like,
yeah.
Why did you not immediately go home to like whatever?
Yeah.
For extracurriculars. Like, I'm not saying like work things need to be. But yeah, I think that's really interesting because like, I don't think that that's something I did miss out on one of my really good friend's weddings when I had like a...
Do you wish you'd gone to that wedding?
I mean, kind of. Like, I'm sad that it's I missed it.
3-week-old?
But I could never have done it.
Yeah.
Like, I could never have, and it's just totally...
It was really
off.
Selfish of her to plan her wedding.
Around me
to not do it. Yeah, exactly. She should have known.
Well... To send her this and tell her I still feel guilty about missing her wedding when I had a 3-week-old.
I said, in retrospect, and we only figured this out with kid number two, but that we were expecting way too much from our first kid.
Yes.
And we were treating him like he was older than he was because we either had a misguided sense or a unrepresentative sense of like what a 1-year-old should be doing, or a 2-year-old should be doing, or a 3-year-old should be doing. And the thing is, you don't have a 3-year-old. You have your 3-year-old, right. And everyone does everything at their own pace. And so I feel we were way too hard and had our expectations were too high that it certainly didn't nudge anything along. It just created expectations and frustrations or worry and anxiety that didn't need to be there.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and then you're having allowances with a second kid where you're like, yeah, oh, he's just a baby. It's like,
you never said that about number one. Yeah.
I mean, even just, I think about this a lot, like going into the pandemic or into lockdown in March of 2020.
4 years ago, it's insane.
Yeah, with a, Jesus Christ.
Like to the day.
With a 3.5-year-old and a 9-month-old and navigating that. And then the expectations that I had on our 3.5-year-old are like ones that I do not have on our kid who's almost 5 now. Like,
right. Yeah,
but
I mean.
Like, just, a, and, but you know, like he, in a lot of ways he like lived up to those expectations. So I tried to balance that where it's like, it's not bad to like have to like set those expectations, but just like, you're right.
But like, why do you have to have expectations at all?
Well, it's not expectations, but it's like feeling like he should be capable of doing something.
Yeah, that instead should of is the problem.
Instead of like allowing him to just exist as he is.
Well, that's the next one. I was saying that, you know, basically from the beginning, you bring your kid in and they're like, he ranks on this percentile or she is, you know, in this age group or this, you know, you're being compared to other kids.
Right.
Just as you're comparing it to your own childhood and to other kids you met. And every kid, every person is totally unique on their own timeline, in their own world. And like, all that really matters is that ultimately they end up doing the thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that. But I think there's a lot of argument over like the growth chart and like kids being on the growth chart, not being on the right spot and like needing whatever. I think that having for like developmental delays or even attention or whatever, like understanding the like typical limits of those things is important, because like being able to have early intervention with some of them is like is key. So it's not like throw it out.
Yeah, but often
also don't push your kid to be like the first.
Yeah, but how often are you actually intervening, or are you just using this as an excuse to worry? And if you didn't know, you would just proceed and it would work itself out. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, he's very small for his age. And right. So your people are just like worried every day that the person is small. And it's like, okay, but is this worrying like helping him grow? No. It's how accurate is the data you're looking at? How often does it actually matter? There's a wide range of opinion about this thing. You're just creating, I just feel like a lot of what happens as a parent is creating unnecessary tension and worry and comparison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say comparison is the thief of joy. I think in parenting, it's more like it robs you of the ability to just be, because you're acting as if you have a kid when you don't. You have your kid, and no one can be like, this is how tall your, I'll give you an example. I was on the Peloton the other day, and it tells you, like, so you're riding or whatever, and it tells you your best ever, which is helpful. But then it also tells you where you were at this point in that workout on your best, which is great if every time you're trying to do your best or beat your best, but you're not. Sometimes you're just trying to ride the bike because it's good to ride the bike. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, the idea that everything is supposed to be adhering to a benchmark or getting to a certain point by a certain point is not true with kids. Like, you have your kid. You have historically, anthropologically, what all kids have done. But like, if you're Albert Einstein's parents and you're worried at 1.5 because he's not talking or walking or whatever, that seems like a problem. But if you knew, if you could flash forward and see Albert Einstein's life, you would be like, oh, I actually don't have to worry about this, because this is just how it's supposed to go for
him. He's dyslexic.
I know.
Yeah. I think that those are two different things. Like, setting unrealistic expectations for behavior and like attitude and cognition, like cognitive abilities or whatever, is different than like understanding developmental averages, so you can like help your child and assist and take pressure off of them to.
But even the point of an average, right? There's a high and a low that creates the average. Very few parents look at it in terms of a band. They go like, he or she should be walking by this age. And if they're not, that's a problem, right? As opposed to, are they in the band or not?
I agree with you, but there's some parts of that I do disagree. Like, you're talking about like babies. You're talking about those little developmental things. But like, as you get older, there's like other things that come into play for your kid if they're not hitting those averages. Like, if you are on the lower end of the average and your parents aren't paying attention and they're not empathetic or understanding or like intervening in some sense, there's going to be a social pressure that's coming down on the kid, and like they're going to experience like the feedback that they're getting from other people about who they are and how they are because they're not hitting those averages comes into play.
But it's not just kids. I mean, it's like, look, some people figure out what they want to do with their life when they're 8. Some people figure it out when they're in college, and some people figure it out in their 30s, right? And like, sooner is probably better, but like, everyone is on their own journey. And the idea that you're like doing it, the idea that it's too early or too late is made up. What matters is like, are you working on it or not? Like, are you thinking about it? Are you eliminating, you know, like,
yeah,
you figure it out. And the problem is the should. I should have done it by now. I should know by now. Everyone else my age knows by now. That's the problem.
I haven't figured it out yet. Is there a time limit?
Well, good luck. Good luck to you.
I'm on the lower end of the average here.
Look, Robert Greene went to 40 Laws of Power when he was 40.
Oh my God, so I knew you were going to say
you
that.
A couple years left.
Is that it? Was that the list that you sent?
Yeah, the last one I made an RFK Jr. joke.
Okay. Just remembered that there was four and I didn't remember what the fourth was. You don't need to read it.
I'm making sure there's no other ones. No, that was five. And then there's six. Oh, and then the last part, we were talking about schools. And as you and I were talking about it, that like we were reading that Montaigne essay from the 1600s, the 1500s. And he's like, it's so hard to find the right school for your kids.
I know.
So the idea just like that these are all very timeless problems. That's a really good one. That like basically everything you're struggling with as a parent that you're not sure if you're doing right or you're worried about the state of things or whatever. Basically every parent for as long as there has been parents have worried about that exact same thing. And things are not uniquely broken and hard now. They've always been that way.
I remember having a conversation with your publisher,
Adrian.
Yeah.
About the same thing.
Like I was saying, he's like, you know what, like what's going on with you guys in parenting right now? I was like, you know, we're trying to figure out schools or this place. And I actually realized recently that we're in an interesting place because we're having to make decisions for the first time that we didn't make for our first kid because we were in the depths of the pandemic. Like we didn't have to make like what age are we sending? Yeah, there are fewer options and like what age we're going to be sending them to school, whatever. And he was like, oh yeah, you know, I had a lot of those same experiences. Like, and I think that no matter where you are, you're going to. And I'm like, you live.
My age, yeah.
Yeah, and you live in a place where like there are, the options are just different. And I mean, I had a conversation with friends in LA about this where it's like, whatever. It is a universal.
Hey, you're listening to the Daily Dad Podcast, one meditation a day inspired to help you do your most important job, which is be a great father. These are meditations inspired by ancient wisdom, psychological research, and just great strategies from normal dads just like you. Thanks for listening.